19 and verse number 129. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance, this is where we got bogged down last time, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. And I like it because David was a country fella, as thou usest to. Do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the provisions of the day and the protection of the day and, Lord, the preservation to get back here to the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these good hymns that we've tried to sing to you. I pray that we've brought glory to your name tonight. I pray now as we open up your word, you touch us, anoint us, fill us with thy spirit. May your will be done. May we see no man save Jesus only. Lord, would you teach me something tonight out of your word? Lord, would you teach us individually? And then, Lord, would you teach us collectively out of your word tonight? And what you do, we'll thank you. We'll give you the glory for it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of review. What we're talking about here tonight in this section of Psalm 119 is setting a watch over the Word. We noted in our last time together that the word keep is used three times in this Psalm. Verse 129, verse 134, and verse 136 in this section of Psalms. It is mentioned. That word keep, it means to guard. It means to place a watch over. And the reason we said that we need to guard the Word of God in our life, we made reference to that parable that Jesus gave over there in Mark chapter number 4. He said that sower went out to sow seed, and that first seed that fell on the ground, the birds came and stole away that seed. And that those birds there, Jesus told us, pictures the devil and his desire to steal the Word of God out of our lives. May I remind you that the devil desires to steal the Word that we're going to try to throw out tonight, the seed of the Word of God. He wants to steal it before we even get out the doors. And so what we need to do is we need to learn to set a watch or to set a guard in our life to keep the Word of God protected so it can grow in our life. My wife tells me I'm getting old, and I guess I am, but I've got where I want to buy bird feeders and I want to plant a garden. And that's my two things. And all the men say, like, what's old about that? Well, look in the mirror, fellas. But I guess I'm getting older. I don't know why. I'm wanting some hummingbird feeders, and I'm wanting to plant me some tomatoes and cucumbers, all right? And the only problem is with the hummingbird feeder, I don't know how to let all the hummingbirds know that I have a hummingbird feeder. I don't know if I send out an email or put a flyer out in the community to let them know there's a hummingbird feeder at my house. So y'all help me pray about that. But I do know one thing I'm learning. I was talking to Miss Brandy's dad yesterday about garden. He's a big gardener, and he grew about 90 cantaloupes last year. I mean, he grows everything, and watermelons and tomatoes, all that stuff. And he said, one thing you got to do, he said, you got to spray some stuff on your plants. He said, because there'll be things that are trying to get in there and steal it away from you and take it away. And can I say this? Just as much as I need to protect what I'm going to plant in my garden this year, I need to protect what God, the seed that God puts in my heart, in my life, because there are insects out there and there are things out there that like to steal my fruit. He told me that. I said, do you grow corn? He said, no, I had to quit growing corn. He said, I said, because of the deer, right? He said, no, two things, raccoons and wasps. I didn't know that wasps ate corn, but he said, they clean me out dry. So I said, well, if you'll put a picture of Brother Charles Allen out there, I said, them raccoons, they'll bring corn back they stole last year. You'll get that after a while, amen. Eric, you should be glad I gave you a break tonight, amen. But the sermon's not over yet, all right? But I'm saying is you got to protect what God is putting in your life. We're going to hear good preaching next week. And I promise you this, next week's going to be the most hectic week. I mean, everything's going to go wrong. You're going to get hell late at work. The kids ain't going to understand their homework, what kid does. I mean, the dog's going to throw up. The microwave's going to break. I mean, everything bad's going to happen. The devil's going to do everything he can to try to steal away what God's trying to sow into your life. And so we need to make up our mind now, we're going to guard what God gives us. I'll give you what we dealt with. We dealt verse 129 with a declaration proclaimed. He said, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. He said, there's the delight recorded. He said, thy testimonies are wonderful. And then there is the duty required. Therefore doth my soul keep them. We've already dealt with that. But I'll just say this. Anyone can say that they love the Word of God, but very few people show that they love the Word of God. And then we dealt with verse number 130 with the discernment that is provided. This is where we got hung up a little bit. But verse 130 said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, it's hard to get any work done in the dark. We got some new furniture at our house, President's Day sale, at Rooms to Go, no interest for 75 years, so we paid $26 for the next 50 years, and we got new furniture. All God's people said amen. Anyway, they got it delivered, and you know, men, how many testify to this? We got the couch and the love seat and the two little end tables and the lamps and all that, and I'm like, finally. And she said, I hate that ceiling fan. And I never paid attention to it before. But, I mean, it did look a little off, and so, I went and got a ceiling fan yesterday. And Brother Eric come over, cause I don't know how to do anything, and Brother Eric said, we're gonna hang that ceiling fan. And so he takes the old one off, and we're trying to figure out the wires, and he said, I can't see up here. I said, you want me to flip that switch? It's hard to work in the dark. And I mean, it got to the point, it's 10:30 at night, and I got a razor blade in my ceiling cutting out the ceiling so that thing will fit up there. We got it though. Yeah, we got it. Now, the whole house may fall down around it. That ceiling fan is going to be there. God be the glory. What I'm saying is it's hard to get any work done in the dark. We talked about you can't see dirt when it's dark. If you watch the morning minute meditation with Brother Andy today, I actually gave this devotional thought that you can't see dirt when it's dark. You can't see disorder when it's dark. And you can't see the direction you're going when it's dark. You know, they'll give you a ticket for riding down the road when it's dark for not having your headlights on. Because you can't see where you're going if the light ain't on. Then why do we think that we can get through this life without opening up the Word of God, the light of God's Word? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can't make it through your day without turning on the light and see where you're going. Well, preacher, I ain't got any problems or any sin in my life. You turn the light on? Have you turned the gospel light on? Let it shine. Preacher, everything's in order in my life. Oh, really? Have you turned the light on lately? Amen. It's a light for my way and then a lesson for my wisdom. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we find the discernment provided. But this is where we left off. Look at the beginning of verse number 131. We find the desire portrayed. Beginning in verse number 131 down to verse 135, we find the psalmist, probably David, is expressing his passion for nine different things. Don't get nervous. But nine different things. Notice it with me. First of all, he has a desire for precepts in verse 131. Watch what he said. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Obviously, he begins expressing his desire with the Word of God. It is important to note that of all the words he could have used to describe the Word of God, Brother Steve, he used the word commandments that he was longing for. Command. People don't like command, but that's what he wanted. Because the psalmist understood, as we said over and over again, that there is safety in rules. And there is protection in commandments. Before you tear a fence down, you better see why it was put up. Amen. We find that he is panting for the Word of God. Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said his desire was so animated they looked to the animal world to find a picture of it. And he saw that picture of that deer panting after water. You recall Psalm 42 where it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How's your thirst this evening?
How's your passion? How's your desire for the things of God? This deer here, he is a heart that is over there in the Middle East. It's a small deer, and it is a hunted animal. He is hunted by basically three different predators. By wolves, by lions, and by humans. And do we not see the world, the flesh, and the devil in that regard? And what they tell me that when that deer is on the run from a predator, and I've given this before, but just for sake of illustration, that deer is on the run from a predator, that he will run, he'll go to water. He'll head to water when he's getting chased. What they say that little deer will do, Brother Davis, when he gets down there in that little marsh in that valley, when he gets down there, watch it now, when he gets down there, he'll slide like a baseball player onto his knees. When the enemy's after him, trying to take his life and trying to destroy him, that little deer knows I need to get down to the river and get on my knees. And he'll get down in that water. And you know what that enemy will happen to him? He'll lose that scent in that water. And the enemy can't find him because he got on his knees and he got to the water. Can I say this? When the enemy's coming against us and the flesh is coming against us, the best thing we can do is get on our knees and get in the water of God's Word. There's protection found in the Word of God. You been on your knees lately? You been in the water brook lately? We find desire for precepts. And then in verse 132, we find a desire for perception. Watch what he says, look thou upon me. He said, God, can you see me down here? Would you look this direction, please? You ever felt like God didn't know where he is at? And you saying, God, I'm right here. If you're looking for me, get a yellow shirt on, get a flashlight. God, I'm right here. He ain't lost you. He is not sitting up in heaven going, what did I do with Dave McKnight? I knew I had him ran somewhere. No, he ain't doing that. He knows right where you're at tonight. He knows right where you're going through. He knows what tomorrow, I don't know what, I have plans tomorrow. I have things to do. I have a schedule tomorrow that I plan on following through with, but I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm glad God already knows. He has a desire for pity in verse 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. That word pity does not mean that God feels sorry for him. But rather that word pity means to be gracious, to show favor. The word, and it shows a deep passion in God's mercy. Boy, you better be glad that God's merciful. You better be glad that He has pity on us. Favor and love, and a deep, another definition means love, or to love deeply, or have mercy, be compassionate, to have a tender affection on one. Boy, I'm glad God has pity on me. Then in verse 132, he also has a desire for performance. He says, as thou usest to, do unto those that love thy name. By the way, you know why mountain people, why country people talk like we do? Because our forefathers learned how to read and talk by reading the Bible. That's why we say, I reckon, and usest to, and fell on a tree. That's in the Bible. Amen. We more educated than fancy people. Amen. He said, God, I need you to do it like you used to. Now, David, they believe David is the writer of this psalm. And the more I read it, the more I see David. So I'm going to say David. David's thinking about what he'd done for his daddy and what he'd done for his grandma Ruth and for his grandpa Boaz. Remember, he's in that family. What he'd done for his great-grandma Rahab and what he'd done for all the family back in the day and how God blessed and God got him out of Egypt. He said, God, I need to do it for me, like you used to do it for them. Matter of fact, the Bible still says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed and He ain't planning on it. Well, preacher, I just don't know why we see it. Ain't seeing God move like we used to. I'll tell you why. We don't want to see Him move like He used to. It messed up, that's exactly right. It messed up our schedule. It messed up our plans. It messed up our ambition. It messed up our thought process. Amen. I'm telling about you, but I prayed this morning. I prayed this every morning this week in my prayer time. God, would you please give us a meet next week like you used to, like your days done in days gone by. God, move, bless and save sinners and stir in our hearts and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But do we really want that? You know, if we're satisfied with getting what we've got, and we won't get no more than what we've got. That's real deep, ain't it? Amen. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at in my Christian life. I hope you're not. If you are, you might be checking out here, son. Because we're still growing, and we're still learning, and we're still trying to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't ever get to a point where you feel like you know all your Bible. Man, I've been reading this week in the book of Daniel. And son, I've been a scratching my head, and William scratched so much he ain't got a piece of hair left on his head. And I just been wondering, don't bring that Sunday morning. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. All right, but no, I'm just kidding. But I've been reading. I you know what I've done? I didn't say, well, I don't understand that, so I'm gonna try something. No, I sat down and looked a little more, and I said, God, I'd really like to know what this means. Would you help me? And would you? And you know what he done? He answered that prayer a little bit. Gave me, I ain't got it all figured out, but I know more than what I did when I started. Amen. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to have more knowledge. I prayed this morning over that text. I struggled with. I said, God, I don't necessarily want to know this to preach it. I want to know it for me. I want to have it in my heart. I want to have a knowledge myself. Amen. So there's also a desire for my path. Look at verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. He's desiring God to direct his steps. May I encourage you, never make a major decision in your life without consulting the Word of God and the Lord in prayer. Amen. You young people, before you start courting or dating or whatever it is, y'all, I love you, 12-year-olds. Yeah, we're going out. Where are you going? Yeah, we're going out. We're going out in the lunchroom. You know. I mean, you better pray. Amen. And wait till you're 35. Amen. And all the dads of daughters said amen to that. What I'm saying is pray and seek God about that. Before you get a job, pray. Say, God, if it's your will for me to have this job, you work out the details. God, if it's your will for me to marry this individual. God, if it's your will for me to make this move. God, if it's your will to do this and do that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not thine own understanding. Watch it out. And in all thy, not, it didn't say most of the ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Then He has the desire for purity in verse 133. He said, let not iniquity have dominion over me. That word iniquity refers to that sin nature that lives within us. That iniquity that's in me. That old man. And I ain't talking about your husband, ladies. That old man that lives within us. We have to battle with and fight with. I've been having trouble. I've had more trouble with batteries, car batteries, the last year of my life than I ever have. With the church van and with my car. I've changed batteries. I've changed connections. And all that, you know, and finally what I had to do on mine is I was having trouble, my connectors had corrosion on them. And so the power was not getting to the vehicle because there were impurities on that connection. So you know what I had to do? If I wanted the power, I had to clean it. Baking soda and vinegar does wonders. That cleans anything. We ought to use it for soap. I mean, it's fun, you know, just pour baking soda and just watch it explode, you know. But I had to clean it. You know why a lot of people don't have the power of God in their life when they ain't going anywhere? There's so much impurity and so much sin in their life. You know what? That Toyota out there is a beautiful car. God blessed me with it. It's still in pretty good condition, even though I'm, you know, that RAV's got over 160,000 miles on it. It's paid for thanks to this church. God be the glory. But, when we was looking for the van, they said, well, how many miles you got on your RAV? I said, about 150. I said, how old is it? I said, well, it's 5 years old. I said, we bought the thing to drive. Not sit in the garage. We bought it to drive it. And what we do, we put a lot of miles on the road. And I mean, I probably put, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 miles on a vehicle every year. Probably more than that. I mean, we just go. But you know what? I ain't going anywhere if that battery ain't hooked up right. Preacher, I ain't getting nowhere in my Christian life. How's your connection? You got corrosion built up in your life, sin. You ain't going nowhere till you get that cleaned up. I don't care if you got the nicest car, most expensive car. Ain't no car going nowhere without a battery. I don't care how fancy your Christian life is, if you ain't got none of that, got that imperfection out of your life, you ain't going anywhere. That'll get cleaned up. He has a desire for preservation. Verse 134. Deliver me from the oppression of man. He's just simply asking God here to deliver him from his trouble. He understood he couldn't deliver himself. It'd be a good day in your life when you figured out that if you could solve it yourself, then why would you need God? If you could get out of that on your own, why'd you need the Lord? We need Him in every area of our life. By the way, let me throw this in about that battery too. People don't like negative preaching. They don't like when a preacher preaches on sin and gets, like Dr. Kenny Baldwin says, he said, I ain't trying to get in your business. I'm trying to get all up in your business. I hope God lets me be a black preacher in the millennial reign. I mean, we're going to get to preach, and I want to do it right once in my, I ain't never done it right, and I'm going to do it right in the millennial. I'm going to ask the Lord about that. Say, Lord, let me, they dress better, they preach better, they sing better, I want to do it. Amen. Amen. And he says, I don't like preacher, get off in my business. Well, go pull that negative terminal off your car. Go pull that negative off your battery and see where you're going. You ain't going anywhere. And you got the Joel Osteens, and even in an army with the Happy Boys, they never preach on sin, it's all positive. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't got the negative. Do you know 2/3 of preaching is negative? Reprove and rebuke. Then exhort. You gotta have the negative before you can have the positive. If you have them both, that's when the power comes. That's why I preach on sin. That's why I preach about things that people here are doing. Why don't I preach about things they're doing down the road? They ain't gonna hear it. We ought to deal with our sin here. Deal with what's at home so we can deal with the negative and then get the positive so the power comes. Amen. I ain't never got mad. Well, I've got mad in my flesh at what a preacher preached, but in my spirit, you know what the Holy Ghost said? Yeah, you don't like that, but you know he's right. I'm like, yeah, that's why I don't like it. He has that desire for preservation and for purity. But then, verse 135, he has a desire for pleasure, not personal pleasure. Watch what he says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. You know what the word picture is? It's God being happy with you. He said, God, I want you to look on me and your face shines with pleasure and acceptance. You know, Psalm 31:16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Psalms 80 verse 3, turn us, O God, and cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. What I love about that verse is it said, God, would you please turn this way? They said, God, would you turn us? Because we're not the right direction. And then he has a desire for preparation. And teach me thy statutes. You know why you go to school? To learn. That's what they say. But you know what that learning's for? It's to prepare you in life. Now, I'm gonna get on the kid's side for a minute. I do not know what algebra and calculus and diagram and sentences, I do not understand how it's going to help you in any area of your life. Because I am 28 years old. I pastor a church, I wrote essay papers for Bible college, I have worked other jobs before, and I never just sat around my house and said, ooh, I'm gonna diagram a sentence tonight. Thank you, son. God bless you. And all the parents are like, preacher, you're killing us here. But it's time somebody stands up for the truth. But there's some things I don't understand why they teach you that. But that reading and writing and counting to 10, that's pretty important. I told mom when I was growing up, I said, look, I'm gonna be a preacher. All I didn't know how to do is count a love offering. That's pretty much all I know. And now they give you checks, so you ain't got to count nothing. But school is preparing you. Now I tell you, when I went to Bible college, they didn't prepare me for everything. No, sir. You know, they didn't, you know, I'll tell you, if I ever lost my mind and started a school or a Bible college, we'd have a class on baptism. Not how to. Because the first person I ever baptized was your uncle. And it's tall. And I'm not that tall. And it was, we both about drowned, but we got it done. And then I've lost a couple before. You know, getting them down's not hard. It's getting them up that's the hard part. And you know, everybody weighs more in water. And so, I mean, it's bad when you're going, oh, you know, I mean, that's just not good. And I don't know why I'm talking about that. But I guess my point is, school is supposed to prepare you for things. You know, the psalmist is saying, God, would you teach me so I'll be prepared? You know what you'll read in your Bible tomorrow? May not have anything to do with what you're doing tomorrow. But somewhere down the road, something will come up, and you know what God will do? He'll press, you kids don't know anything about this, but we used to have VCRs.
and you'd press, what do you know about a VCR? You have one? Okay. I had one. Rewind. And then play. And say, hey, you remember when you read that? Now you need it today. It's preparing you for the future. So, we've looked at his declaration proclaimed in verse 129, his discernment provided, verse 130, the desire portrayed, verse 131 to verse 135. And then last of all, verse 136, there's the disappointment produced. What's this? He says, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Remember what we're talking about? We're talking about keeping a watch over the Word of God in our life. But we find the revelation of his disappointment. Rivers of waters run down my eyes. This disappointment has brought him to a place of tears. Here's the reason for his disappointment. Because they keep not thy law. Who's the they? Well, I don't think it's lost people he's talking about. This is my personal opinion. I think he's talking about people that are, let's use our terminology. They're saved and they go to church. But they don't care about that Bible or the man in the moon. They're just not living their life by it. And David's a king. He's in a place of authority. And he said, I'll tell you right now what disappoints me. It's people not living by the Word. He said, God, I love Your Word. And David wasn't perfect. He didn't always live by it. But he always... You know, Saul committed one sin. And God rejected him. David, several sins. And God never let the scepter come out of his hand. You know why it was the difference between Saul and David? They're both saved, I believe. Saul never repented. David, he'd sin, you'd see a Psalm 51, or a Psalm 36, or a Psalm 30, there's another one, 57. He's repenting before God, coming before Him. He said, I'll tell you what bothers me in ministry, and I'm done. I preached 30 minutes, I'm done. I'll tell you what bothers me in ministry, as you preach to people and try to invest in people and then to see them just go the opposite way. And I'll be honest with you, and you don't know that feeling unless you've been a pastor. People you've poured your life into and invested and you've tried to teach them the right way. I got a boy I'm praying for right now. I text him Saturday. I said, when are you going to quit running from God and get right? I wouldn't take no time with him. Well, I know you wouldn't, but I got the burden. And I'm hoping God does, and I've asked God to spare him harm and God to spare him any physical danger, but I've said, God, get his attention. Yeah. Do what you need to get his attention. God, spare his family and spare his life, but God, get his attention. Man. And I believe, hey, we're scared to pray some prayers, aren't we? Yeah. I prayed some prayers and saying, God, only way this people's going to get right with God and get out of the world, you got to get their attention somehow.
Yeah.
God, do what they need to. And it brought sorrow to David's heart to see people that didn't care about keeping God's Word. But here's the resolve in this disappointment. He said that, verse 129, where we started, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. He said, look, they ain't keeping them, but that don't mean I'm not going to. Just because somebody went out in the world, don't mean you need to go follow them. Prodigal son went out in the far country and daddy never stepped one foot in that direction till he was coming home. He didn't fall in there and try to reason with him. He just said, you know where I'm at and you know where home's at. And I'm praying that God would help us to stay committed to putting a guard and a watch over the Word of God in our life. Because there would be some black, Dr. Ron Garris called them blackbirds from hell. They'll try to swoop through and steal what God's been pouring into your life. It'll happen tonight. Your phone, somebody will call you, somebody will text you. You'll hear something on the radio, and your mind will be 1,000 miles away from what we talked about tonight. It happens to me all the time. Let's ask God to help us with that. And hide God's Word in our heart. We might not sin against thee. Amen. I appreciate your attention. I preached 30 minutes.